Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We've had a blast already, Lord, in your house. Bless us as we talk to you now about our lives and the Word of God. Oh, it feels good, Lord, to know that never again will demonic forces own us, drive us, or be able to defeat us. We are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're those of dominion and victory and conquerors. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. I feel like praying in the Holy Ghost for just a minute. I'm seeing something in the Spirit. If you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray with me in your heavenly language. If you're not, ask the Lord to fill you right now. Or pray in your native tongue. Le monda po si flipete. Lingo shi ma sakinda la ma. Le bolifo le bosta kene. Lasef le ma sheke la manda gazongonde. Lipo shila. Yeah? Thank you, my master. Le posof libo shakinda. Le mondalie. Le foselopa. Le pokajingan. De la basi flete shoto. Le ma satala manda. There'll be a promotion already assigned and approved by me, saith the Lord, that this pulpit would have more influence to steer this greater area and this city. I'm going to promote the word that comes out of this pulpit. Others will know more about it. It will broadcast further than what has ever gone before. And in doing so, it will bring in more souls than what you've ever had at one time ever before, the Lord says. Now that promotion is on the word, but Pastor Stephen Jean is also on you. The Lord said, I'm going to promote your voice. You've proven yourself faith. Come up here, let me just put a hand on both of you. The Lord said, I have not only originally approved of you, but I approve of what you of your voice. And I've already come with signs following and giving you a great army. But your army's not big enough for what the assignment is that lies ahead of you. Why, the Lord says, the two of you, you've always been able to handle 10, 20, 30 more times more sheep than what you care for. It's not an ability situation. It's not an ability thing. It's not a shortage. But I've been building an army around you that now is not afraid. They'll stand with you. You can pierce the darkness in these last days with the sharp two-edged sword, the Word of God, and they will stand with you. Well, I remember talking to you back at Rhema Bible Training Center and putting vision in your heart. There's not a thing you've done by accident. It's all been by divine design. Ha, sekenamai. Oh, le bot li blow sheaf. And I see in the future that the sinners are going to run on this church. You got to prepare your troops now. They're going to be crude and rude and nasty and dirty and filthy. And some of them have even been anti-Christ. But the powers of darkness will intensify even more so in the land. They will run to the light. And many of them will come your way. Don't you know? Don't you know you're one of the few that have stayed with my spirit? You have preached the uncompromised word, but you've stayed with my spirit. And people are hungry and they're dry and they've been in desert places. And some of those are called churches, dry, powerless, and they don't know me. But I'm going to relocate many of them into churches just like this one to come sit at the feet of shepherds just like you so they can enjoy my presence, be empowered by my spirit, and be the ruthless conquerors that I've called them to be. Oh, Yekesha. Now let a fresh anointing fall upon them, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And let the name of Sekane, almost like the voice of the prophet, the confronting voice of the prophet and the pointing finger of God. You've been walking in and out of that already, son. Pastor and my people, and then you shift over to the prophetic unction. It shows in your writings. It shows in your speaking. It shows in your prayer life. But I'm going to sharpen your tongue, because I got some things I want carved away in this region, and I'm going to use you to do it. Praise God. Let that come to pass in his life. Let him have the power to do it. Everybody say favor.
Favor.
Shout it, favor.
Favor.
Say, may I say this? May my pastor have favor,
may my pastor have favor,
to say what God's told him to say.
Say what God's told him.
Amen. Clap once. I think you want to anyway. Clap once. Come on, do it really good. Let's praise the Lord a minute. Hallelujah. Oh my. Oh Lord. Now let's lift our hands and just praise him a minute. Come on. Let's lift our hands. His name is Jesus. He's in the house with us today. Ola mande le vloposhika le paselamonga. I'm gonna talk a little more about what I just saw in the spirit, but I want to pray over you first. Father, bless this congregation. You're about to put the largest taxation on them. The largest demand would probably be a better word. You're about to put the largest demand on them to preach this gospel in a troubled time. And yet, they're about to put the greatest demand on you that they've ever done before, to hear your voice, to have your blessing, to flow in your riches, to be the most spiritual they've ever been. No sakeshinaman. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Do it, Lord. They're worthy of it. This church will not fail you. This army here will not fail you. They will accomplish everything you tell them to do. They've done it so far. Yeah, the Lord says, yeah. The Lord said, sure, there'll be those that can't stay with you. There are those in the past that left you. They're still my kids. But they can't run with you. They can't be with you. They won't march to the cadence. They won't fit in their spot. Don't be concerned about all that. You be concerned about you fitting in your spot and you marching to my cadence as I build this army even greater for the day that lies ahead of us. Praise God. Step out here a minute. I'm going to open your mouth wider than it's ever been before to speak. Even the gift of prophecy will bubble up inside of you in a more pure way and come out of your mouth. And I'm going to use you more and more to encourage people. I'm going to put a word of encouragement in your mouth. Those that are downtrodden, depressed, discouraged. It already bugs you that they're having a hard time. It already bothers you that you can't help. So I'm going to anoint you fresh, my daughter. Yeah, and you're going to speak for me. And when I tell you, you're going to prophesy and you're going to have a word of encouragement in your mouth. And not only that, but we'll bless you personally. Now breathe on her, Holy Spirit. That's what I pray. Just breathe on her soul. Refresh her even on the inside. She loves you. She's your daughter. And I thank you for this anointing. Watch her now, ushers. It's coming on her again. I can tell when it does. Ha! Se ple she ke manda. You never know what people do, you know. I've seen people jump in the air, take a run, fall down, fall forward. I've seen people just freeze and stand for the whole message. They don't even know we're here anymore, right? It's just however your body responds to the impartation of God. Come up here, right here. Come up here. Praise God. What's your name?
John.
John, yeah. Praise the Lord. That's a Bible name. That's pretty cool. My name's Mark. That's a Bible name too. Actually, Stephen's a Bible name. My son Josh is here. That's a Bible name. What's your name? Aaron's a Bible name. Give me five, Aaron. I always wanted to meet you. I read about you in the Bible. Praise God. I didn't know you were still with us. Hallelujah. What's your name, brother?
Walter.
Walter's not a Bible name. But it's a cool name. It is now. That's right. It is now. Put your hands to heaven. Father, I see a fresh anointing falling on him for responsibility to carry load and not be overburdened by it, both in the natural arena but also in the house of God, in the army of God. Now, my son, I happen to know that you feel inferior to these assignments most of the time, and you don't always feel equipped to do, and so it sometimes holds you back. Other times you're bold as a lion. I see that. But the Lord says a new holy boldness will come on you, so that you can accomplish everything that your God wants you to do. And you're going to carry a greater load around here in the future for the things that God is doing and the things that God is going to do and how He's going to add to this. You're going to bear some of that burden and on your soul as well. Now, Lord, open this mouth to speak and to exhort and to love on people and to put His arm around people and to put intensity inside of others in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now just breathe on him a minute. I thank you. Just if you write it in his soul, it'll stay with him all the days of his life. Sema sokoshike lamanda. Oh man, we just, somebody say, what are we doing? We're just flowing in the Spirit. We're just letting the Holy Spirit have a church service. Amen. Amen. Come up here, young man. That is one nice tie you're wearing. Praise God. Got nice shoes on. Looks like you brushed them a little bit. You're doing pretty good, aren't you? Let me see. Yeah, brush your teeth. Did you shave this morning? Yeah, pretty. I'm going to put my hand on you. And the Lord said this. Come up here, Josh, and help me. The Lord said this thing that you're feeling in the middle of the night. The Lord said, I'm coming to you to touch you now so you get used to my Spirit, because I've called you to help people. There's a call on your life to help people. Right now, you're young, so you're just trying to sort out this and that and how's this work and that work. You probably can't see the full picture even. But the Lord said, I'm coming upon you and resting on you to anoint you in a very young age to communicate for me. You're going to put your hand on people. You're going to lead people to Christ. And in the right day, healing will be in these hands. And you'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Praise God. Now, you're his daddy. Now, I'm not calling him into the fivefold ministry. He may be called into that. That's not what I'm doing. I don't know what all the Lord has for him or how long we'll be still on the planet, being we're in the last days. But I do see the anointing of God on him, and it wouldn't surprise me if God called him to the fivefold and even made him a missionary and sent him to other lands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So right now, Lord, I pray protection over him. Put a hand on him, Josh. Protection over him, and that he'll learn this word, this Bible, and that no worldly nothing, no demon, no person, no system, no woman, no, they're not going to have this young man. He's going to stand for you, and he's going to serve you all the days of his life. And I thank you. Just anoint him right now so strong in his soul that he'll never escape it. It will crease his life. Pastor, is he one of yours, right? Lay hands on him for a minute. Amen. We're doing spiritual business now, big business. Father, we thank you. That's right. The Lord even knows young people. Thank you. We crease him right now so that he will do and be able to do the work that you've called for him to do in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wow. I love the Holy Spirit, don't you? Isn't the Holy Spirit great? You'll be more contagious than you've ever been. Your enthusiasm and your little shriek and your laughter and your energy will be jumping on other people. You'll be responsible before me to spread that. Sometimes you don't even mean to, because you have your own combat. You have your own dealings. You have your own issues. But yet you have this thing about you, this enthusiasm for me. How much you love me and how much I love you is just going to come off from you. I'm also anointing you to be a mighty hunter. You're going to hunt people down one at a time, and you're going to bring them into the kingdom of God. I'm going to hone your witnessing skills so that you know just what to say to who. I'm also going to give you a more open door of discernment so you can know. You will pick out who it is I want you to go talk to and deal with outside of the church arena as well. And they'll be wide open. There'll be those people that said, wow, I just asked God this morning if he'd send somebody to me. I was just thinking, and the Lord, I'll put you in that perfect place. You will not waste your time witnessing to people that Satan has blinded their eyes. I will lead you just to the right people, and you will bring them into my kingdom. Man, that is a good word right there. And I thank you for it. Now, Lord, bless her personal life as well. And just let the anointing of God fall on her and on her home and on her family. Let it be the best it's ever been in Jesus. The best it's ever been in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me put a hand on you, darling, in the pretty white jacket, blouse. Come up here. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord pointed you out to me. He must know you pretty good. I put my hand on you. Oh, yeah. The Lord says this gray cloud, this dark cloud that's tried to come and mess with you and steal your joy sometimes and just cause turbulence, tribulation, but more turbulence in the air. Oh, I've come today to arrest that thing. It is going to leave your life once and for all, where you don't have to have these bright days and then dull and then bright and then dark and then bright. I'm going to stabilize this. You're going to the next level. That's what the Lord said. And you're going to the next level, even in your private life, and you're going to the next level spiritually, the Lord says. And that other matter you talked to me about, I got that well in the palm of my hand, and I'm dealing with it. You can't see it yet, but wait. Shortly, you'll see the manifestation and the answer to that prayer. And I'm going to fix that thing for you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Wow. Everybody say, the Lord is in the house.
The Lord is in the house.
Amen. I love Jesus. I'm glad we belong to Him, aren't you? Man, in these dark days, wow. I actually, the longer I live, the more I feel bad for sinners. I feel really bad for sinners. I feel really bad for backsliders. I'm not looking at you because you are one. I'm just talking to you. Oh, you know how Facebook is. It'll be on Facebook by 1 o'clock. Brother Barclay said he was a backslider. Look right at him. You know how that goes. Yeah. What a ding-a-ling thing that is, isn't it? Amen. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, sir.
Are you? You notice all the defacing that goes on in Facebook? You don't do that, do you? You're not a slanderer, are you? I can tell. Yeah, you got a pure heart. You a slanderer? I didn't think so. I can just tell you're not. So, you're not on Facebook. You don't even qualify to be a slanderer. But I feel bad for sinners. You know what I feel led by the Spirit to do right now? To lead you in prayer over everybody you know, your relatives, family members, people you work around, somebody you know that don't know Jesus. They're desperate. They get up every morning and they try to put on the cloak of pretense that I'm okay, but they're not okay. See, you have answers. You know how discouraging it can get. Being a born, you're a born again, blood washed, you know, person filled with the Holy Ghost and a Bible person. And sometimes you and I face discouragement when you listen to the news and you kind of see what our own government's even doing, you know. And even against us. But imagine the sinner that has nowhere to turn. Nowhere. Everything's failed them. They have no hope. Now the government's failing them. We've come down to they placed all their hope into the government. Not just the United States. Other countries, the peoples of the earth, have, you know, the laboratories have failed. No offense to them. Medical research, really, they haven't found a cure to any disease since I've been alive. I'm almost 63 years old. Now, I don't belittle that. I hope they keep spending millions researching. But I'm just saying, as of right now, if you were a sinner, and the only hope you have to get cured is medicine, but they don't have a medicine to cure what you got, or your little baby, you're doomed. You live doomed. And if money's down to, I hope our government can get us enough work or supply jobs or food stamps or whatever, they're failing at that, in case you haven't noticed. You know, it's like the price of gas. You know, they run it up to $3.50 and then down to $2.75, and we rejoice because it's $2.75. How fast we forgot it used to be $75. That was before the Dark Ages, by the way. That was in modern time. And that's what they do with all of this, see? And if you're a sinner, you don't know Jesus, where do you turn? What hope do you have? When there's no cure, really, for most diseases. There's no medicine. I mean, you can take a medicine, you know, don't get me started on that. You can take a medicine for a lump on your throat. But, you know, it'll paralyze your legs, make you go blind, give you blisters on your backside. You know, your toes will swell up. And you know, your teeth will fall out. But bless God, we're going to fix that bump on your throat. You know? Amen. And so now think about it. Now see, you have hope. You have Jesus. You have a great pastor. Or maybe the two of them together. They pastor together. You have a great house. You have a great church family. You know your Bible. You have hope in your heart that God's going to do something. But the people we're about to pray for have none of the above. Most of them, if they even attend church, it's deader than a doorknob. God hasn't been in most of those churches in decades. Amen. And half the people they go to confess to and cry out to are perverted themselves and kind of put on the rich, you know, I'm a spiritual leader, when they're as doomed as much as anybody else. Did I paint the picture right? Then think, close your eyes right now and think about any loved one, any relative. You might be married to one. Any friend, working partner that does not walk with Jesus Christ. They don't know Jesus. Now they might know him and be totally backslidden into the world. I'm going to lead you in prayer, and I believe we're going to see, Pastor Stephen, a manifestation of a lot of those prodigals coming back and a lot of people getting born again in this hour. I really do see that. So, Father, I agree with this church family right now. The Lord knows who you're thinking about, see? Get them on your mind. The Lord knows that. You don't even have to say it. The Lord knows everything. He knows who you're bringing up on your mind right now. Lord, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. You're going to help us reach people that don't know you. Get them delivered from demonic forces. Oh, my Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We're going to lead them to you. The Lord said, people even that you've gone to before, go back to them again. Because it's a different day. Even if you say, well, I witnessed to them and they ran me off. Go back again. Yeah, but this one relative has just been so ornery. Go back again. Because they're being softened by the tribulation and the persecution and the lack and the demonic powers. Go back to them again. And I pray with you on this. In Jesus' name. Now put your hands down a minute and close your eyes with me. Just like we're doing an altar call. We do this for privacy, so guys, put all the cameras right on me, okay, and not the congregation, please. If you're married to an unsaved person, raise your hand right now. I'm going to pray for you. Is there anybody in here? Yep. Yep. Anybody else? Yep, I see that. Now, Lord, I see that hand. Now, Lord, I call this spouse, this man or woman. You said to pray to the Lord of harvest. That's you, Jesus. That you would send forth laborers into this field of harvest. Now, these are great women, great young, or great men. They just need their spouse to be hot for God. Let a miracle. Let this be a miracle month, a miracle season. That if we can't reach our own lover, then send someone in their life to witness to them, to get the darkness bound, and to get them turned on to Christ, either for the first time or to come home as a prodigal. I agree with you right now in the name of Jesus that you're not going to live with an unsaved person. They are coming to Christ. And I just speak that over you in Jesus' name. I feel an authority on it. I feel an authority on this. That they're going to come into this kingdom. Praise God. And I thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Be seated just a moment. Praise God. What a powerful church you have. You are so blessed to be able to belong to something like this in such a dark time. Amen. Amen. Man, I like what you did with this building. Wow. This is gorgeous. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Now, I've been in the ministry long enough to know that this costs you some money. I also happen to know it costs you a lot of time. Even if you hired people to do the major work. And it's good because we have to advance now. I can see in the spirit that this church here will soon, you know, be forced to go into two services. And then maybe three. And we'll talk about this for a minute. I didn't come to bring a line upon line, precept upon precept teaching today. I can do that. But when you have such a teaching priest, I don't think you need, you know, a guy to come and be a teaching priest and teach you something your pastor could have taught you, when he could be even a better teacher than me anyways. What I do is come in like this in the office of the prophet and mess around with stuff. And even mess around with you. Amen. And you. And you. And be able to say some things by the Spirit of God. Because you see, though pastor is anointed to pastor you, I'm not. And I'm not here to be your pastor today. Amen. But it gives me the liberty to be able to just deal with maybe two or three, four or five different things and not have to have one package deal. You know, I don't know if you realize it or not, unless you've been a pastor before. But pastoring is a really unique place in the earth right now. When I came into this kingdom, I used to look in the mirror and say, man, I would not want to be my pastor. God's anointed him to fix me. Now, I didn't purposely, I was a hard case. Now, I wasn't purposely being a hard case. I wanted everything you folks have. I wanted to be born again. Well, I was born again, but I wanted to be spiritual and filled with the power of God and be a Bible person and be a good citizen in the kingdom. I wanted to get rid of all of my vices. A lot of Christians today, they want Jesus and their drugs and their booze and their sex and their... But I wanted all of that crud, that my crud, whatever was in my life, I wanted all of it gone. I sought for that. I wanted to be like you. I wanted to be pure and righteous and stand before God and not be ashamed. And so thank God. But I remember I used to really bless my pastor every time. In fact, the first church I had was right outside of Camp Pendleton when I still worked with the Marines. I was a Marine instructor. And on the way to the base every day, I'd drive by our church. And pastor had a habit of going there early. And he'd be in there studying and praying every morning, you know. Marines, we get up at 0:30. And so, you know, we're on this. I mean, we beat the sun up most of the time. I have repented of that, by the way. But anyways. And I'd go by there and I'd bring him a coffee or, you know, something, a donut, or, you know, I'd ask him, can I go fuel your, he drove a little pickup truck, can I go fuel your pickup truck and run it through the wash really quick before I go to the base? And after a while, he said, Mark, why are you doing all this? You're always bringing me a gift, money, you know, you don't have to do this, son. One day he said, I gave him $20, which isn't much money, but It was for a Marine back in 1973. So I gave him $20 and he goes, Mark, you understand, don't you, that the church pays me? You know, I have a paycheck. I said, I know that, Pastor. He goes, well, why do you do all this? I said, I'll tell you the truth. I want to honor you and keep you strong because I would not want to be my pastor. I'm not trying to be hard, Pastor, but I know I'm not an easy case. You know, you can say amen.
Amen.
About yourself. Because see, some of you got lost that I was talking about Mark, but I'm really talking about you. Amen. Your attitude, you know, your sass, your prejudice, you know, the way you see it. You know, only God. I think about this all the time, Gene. Only God could even try to do what we're doing here today. No one else could try it. It would fail in a week. You kidding me? How many of you come out of a Catholic environment? Okay. How many of you, Hail Mary. How many of you came out of a Baptist environment? Okay. You're Baptist. Nazarenes? Any Nazarenes in the house? No. Lutherans? Okay. Methodist? Wow, cool. Presbyterians? Yeah, God's chosen, frozen. Amen. I'm teasing. How about a Pentecostal church? Any of the type Pentecostal churches? How about just a heathen like me? Come out of the world. Yeah, praise God. We're invited too. Isn't that great? They let us come to the party too. Thinking about this. Only God Almighty could be courageous enough and brave enough to bring all of us in one room with all that different religious background. Now I'm looking around. I see men and women. And I don't see anybody confused about it here. So we've got men and women. I see different age groups. Amen. And I see different colors of skin, which probably means a cultural difference of some kind.
And so when I look at it, I think, I wouldn't say it. I don't want to insult God that way, but I'd say, you're crazy.
You know what I mean? You're going to put all these ages and male, female, single, married. Are you kidding me? Different cultures. We all came from different church governments of how the church was run. We all got our own sass and opinion. Praise God. What are you doing, Brother Barclay? Driving you to intercession for this couple right here. That's what I'm doing. Only God. Think about this. Only God himself is this brave. To say, all right, I'm going to keep bringing people to you from everywhere. And I want you to make them one mind, one spirit, one family, one vision, one God, and go do this one thing for me. No one else is even brave enough to try it. But God does it, and it works. Raise a hand to him and say, thank God I'm in. Isn't it great? Hallelujah. I see something in the spirit that God's assigned me to just talk to you about for a minute. So if you permit it, I just want to talk to you as an elder or a father in the faith. Isaiah, the great prophet, saw a vision. And God, it was from God, of course. He was so impressed with it, he had it written in the scrolls of the prophets. And it's in Isaiah 60. And when Isaiah brought it forth at the best of his ability to declare what he saw, he said, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people you live in that day. That's the day you live in. Like it or not. What people are doing to people right now is not human. It's demonic. It goes way beyond human. There's something really wrong with a guy that wants to have sex with a 3-year-old. And now, one of our greatest psychiatric associations in America is trying to say the same thing that they did with the gay folks. And that is that they should be loved and held and understood and not punished and not disciplined. And our jail should not be filled with pedophiles. They should be understood. Oh, you fondle one of my granddaughters? There'll be an understanding. See how twisted this is getting? Where the prophet of God said in the last days they would be called evil good. And what God calls good, they would say, man, that's wrong. That's evil. That's judgmental. Amen. I'm sorry you look so sad. And I'll get off from this in just a minute. But I want you to understand, I know your pastor is one of the end time teachers. And I know I'll miss all of the other stuff that God tells him to teach to you. I know he keeps you alerted. But you got to understand the day you live in is the day that Isaiah saw, where this dark cloud would come upon the earth. And it would cover people. And it's gross darkness. Now, gross doesn't mean like, oh my God, that's gross. Well, it'll be that too. It'll be nauseous. It'll make you nauseous. But what that gross means is the totality of all darkness, all combined together, manifesting in the earth at the same time. Isn't there something wrong when a city, I'm going to tell you about the Bible, when the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, when they were so homosexual and inflamed, man to man, that when the angels come to on a spiritual assignment from heaven to warn Lot to get his family out, those men beat on their door and wanted to have those two angels to have them sexually all night long. And he wouldn't turn them over because, number one, they weren't men, they were angels. And even after the angels had smitten them with blindness, they still were so heated sexually in this perversion that they beat on the door and still wanted those two men. Lot, being worldly and a knucklehead, which will happen to you if you keep snuggling up to the world. They'll totally change your mind. Lot literally was going to give that sexually heated crowd, the city, his two virgin daughters, to have them all night long any way they desired in the street. What kind of twisted, misfit father would even have such a demonic thought? But he did. But they didn't want them. Now, the day you live in, we're seeing this happening all over the world. Seeing what happening? The decay of who we are. Man and man and woman and woman and man and women mixed. And you think some people say, well, you're just judgmental. No, I'm not judging anybody to hell. But you got to understand, if you don't like the topic I'm on, you can choose 10,000 of them. Our own government's pretty much making money by letting the drug lords, you know, come across the border. Don't you understand there's a reason we don't close that border? Well, it costs a lot of money. Everything we do as a nation costs a lot of money. It doesn't cost a lot of money. It's where you want to spend the money and what you want to stop and what you don't want to stop. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. So this dark cloud filled with every sexual perversion you can imagine. I don't mean a pinch and a peep. I'm talking about gross, full-blown sexual perversion. And even among heterosexuals, I'm not just picking on the homosexual people. Even heterosexuals, this is a demonic force. And they're beginning to do things and behave in ways. Ladies and gentlemen, please. The United States of America, the only true Christian nation, that was the only nation ever birthed on purpose to be Christian. Your pastor and I were talking on the way in this one. God has no replacement for America. I don't believe the Lord wants to spare and rebuild America so that time just goes on. We all know the time is coming to a conclusion now. You're this close. You're already in World War III, according to the banks and the war experts. That's already begun. And they'll be taking arms in countries, maybe Gog and Magog. And Russia and China will stand with Iran and go against Israel. That'll suck in the whole free world. Don't you understand? You're this close to Armageddon. Whenever it's going to happen, I don't know. You don't know. But it is sobering to think that you were born and born again for such a time as this. You were drafted. I like what Gene said earlier. You were drafted into this church. I'm using the word drafted. You were drafted into this. You're here today. You're part of this army on purpose. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But there's some good news for people. The dark cloud, which is war and despair and poverty and debt and lack and greed and loss. Yeah, that dark cloud, which is deep depression and suicide and homicide and mass shootings and school shootings. And that's all in that demonic cloud that the prophet Isaiah saw. But there's something else going on, according to the Word of God. And you're here to witness it. You are witnessing it right now. You are a blessed people to be alive in 2015, even with all the crud and darkness and demonic attack. You and me, we're so blessed to live in this day. Ha ha! Yeah! You kidding me? Because there's not only the dark cloud, there's the glory cloud of God that's manifesting in the earth today. Yeah, I'm part of that one, praise God. I'm running from that other thing, but I'm running into the glory. Everybody say, I'm denying the darkness. But I'm running into the glory. Now this glory cloud, my friend, is filled with everything. Just like the dark cloud is the totality, the gross, the maximized fallen nature of man. Huh? But the glory cloud is going to be you and me possessed by God. They're going to be possessed by evil and filth and demons. Ha! You and me, we're going to be possessed by God. Everybody say, God possess.
God possess.
That's who we are. Casting out demons. Yeah. grabbing our babies from that dark cloud. Amen. Hey, we're not fugitives on the run. We're earth warriors. And we're earth conquerors. You know what conquer means? You won. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. You know what that means? You really won. You didn't just win the battle. You get all the spoils. And the biggest spoils we're looking for from war are the souls of humans. Hallelujah. Praise God. Darkness, the prophet said, if you want to study it later, Isaiah 60. Darkness will cover the earth, and gross darkness in the last days will be upon the people. But the same gods use the same prophet's mouth to say, but the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. And you know what I like about these verses? It said, and the glory of God will be seen upon you. Seen? See, there's something wrong. Not right. There's something wrong if people that know you don't know you're a Christian until you open your mouth and declare you are. There's not something right. There's something wrong if you fit into the darkness and they don't discern that you're light. There's something wrong when we take our churches and make them worldly so worldly people feel comfortable in our churches. There's not something right about this. There's something wrong if you can leave here and tomorrow at work slip right in to the heathen's way, slip right into their philosophy, their lifestyle, their dress. You know, I'm sure you don't, but smoke their dope, drink their beer, you know, lie and cheat and peek and pinch. You know what the world does. There's something wrong, not right, darling. There's something wrong if you can just slip into that. And they don't discern and see. Now this great prophet said, the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Ha ha! Not just among all of us who are in the glory cloud. I see the glory on you this morning. Yeah, we come in here, you can feel the presence of God in here. I know you're when you worship, you're supposed to get into it. But I cheated and peeked and looked around this morning. And as we were singing, now I worship God, but as we were singing, I looked around a little bit and I could see the glory of God. Seriously, you can see that countenance, that glory of God on people's faces as you were getting into God. But the sinner, he's so dark and in such despair. Any little thing that might come out of your mouth or any little brightness on your face is being more and more attractive to them because they don't see it every day. Do you see a lot of people smiling today? I don't. I travel every day almost of my life. Airports, restaurants, hotels, even a lot of church people. You better smile right now. I'm about to zing you. Even a lot of church people. Wasn't that nice, fatherly, pre-warning? Even a lot of church people, when they're not here and we don't make you laugh, they're not happy people. But sinners are not happy because they're really not happy people. That's where you come in. This glory cloud is going to fill the whole earth. It doesn't make human sense that a dark cloud of such deep filth could cover the earth and the glory cloud of God could cover the earth at the same time. But that's exactly, there's more than one spot, but that's exactly what God showed the prophet Isaiah. Amen. Now, I don't know how, if you even follow our ministry, but I won't tell it today, but I had a similar vision myself that God has given me. I've only told it a few times over the years, but in this last couple of years, God has given me permission to tell it. Charisma Magazine, I didn't hire them to do it. They wanted to do it. If you know Charisma, they put a whole deal on what I called the two clouds. We have probably with us a CD that says the two clouds and then the end. You're in the end. You're called to help your pastor climax the ages. That's your duty. That's what we're doing now, is reaping as many souls as we can. Part of your pastor's duty now is to make sure he doesn't lose you in the march. That the dark cloud, that you don't choose the dark cloud over the glory cloud. Believe it or not, that's something on their mind all the time. It's not just how do I motivate this family to go get sinners, but they've also got on their mind probably every day of their life, I don't want to lose that family. I don't want to lose that young man. I think I'm using that young lady. I think I'm losing her to the dark cloud. And the problem with this is that dark cloud is so powerful. It will suck you out of your family. It will suck you away from your lover, your husband, wife, parent. It'll suck you out of the church. I'm talking about a draft. It's like a massive shop vac. You turn that thing on, and that shop vac I have in my hot rod shop, it'll suck up dust, dirt, shavings, grindings, wrenches. If you get in front of it, man, are you kidding me? I was fooling around the other day and with my grandson. He's 19, so don't feel too bad for him. You know, when you're 19, you deserve a lot of stuff. And so I was just goofing off because he was goofing off me. And I took that shot back and went like that. And it grabbed him right here and started sucking his britches away. And later on, left a little red ring on his little rump. He called me and he goes, I'm going to show you what you did. I said, did I just take your word for it? Do not text me a picture. In this case, no selfies. Praise God. Just tell me what happened, you know. This thing, this dark cloud, and I don't think, I'm concerned because I know you love God, but I'm concerned that a lot of people are not taking this daily serious enough. And it is upon us. The filth is upon us. It's in your school system. It's in your courtrooms. It's in the government offices. I mean, I hope it's not in your house, but it's all around us. And the worst part of it is supernatural. But then again, the glory cloud is supernatural. And we're the repellers of darkness. I like what God said to your pastor earlier. That this army won't betray Christ. This army. And that he'll be able to pierce the darkness with the words I put in his mouth. And you'll make sure that's taken care of. Isn't it great to be called? We're not here just to attend church and hurry up and get out of here and go eat a biscuit and a pancake and then say, yay, I serve my God. We're here as part of the army of God to constantly be equipped, adjusted, empowered, enabled. Can I have a better amen on that, please? Amen. So that we can overcome this horrible, horrible filth. I started to say America, still around the world. Now, our president says different. And I'm sure some of our citizens say different. And sometimes I think it looks different. But around the world, if you travel like I do, country after country after country, free world and not, they call America the Christian nation. That's a fact. When they refer to America, in fact, I don't do this so much anymore, but I used to negotiate between terrorist groups. And in the day, communist groups, when they would try to take over countries, say like in South America, I would take a team in and negotiate with and go in the communist guerrilla camps and negotiate with them to leave the churches open. Because they thought anything Christian was American or British, and they didn't want American involvement, for example, in the military coup. So they tried to shut down the churches and jail the preachers. Because they thought if it's Christian, it must be America. You're not saying much, but I would take that as quite a compliment. But even today, if you travel today, let me tell you what the world is not expecting. They're not expecting pornography to ever again be our number one or number two export out of this country. The world is horribly disappointed with America. Because of our immorality. And that is a fact. That's that dark cloud. That dark cloud now, a whole state, ladies and gentlemen, can vote against or for something. And a little boy or girl that must have skipped Sunday school in a black robe can reverse the whole thing because he or she doesn't think it should be done that way. America, we probably deserve it. But I'm not sure even with that it's the will of God. America has shifted into the time of the judges. Everybody say that's bad. That's bad. And this manifestation of the glory cloud, you're going to watch it. You're going to witness it. You're going to be here. It's going to reverse that time of the judges. You watch and see. God won't permit that. You know, it's not just an American thing and we have rights and we have a constitution. It includes that. But it's the idea that a human can make slaves. Like right now, you're a slave in your taxes. You're in slavery. You have no choice but to pay for abortions. You may hate abortions, you may not. But you are paying for them with your tax dollar and the health care program. You have no choice. You're a slave. You're in Egypt now. Your government is forcing you. And that's not all. Your government is forcing you to participate in supplying things for sexual perversion, even among kids and teenagers. And your taxes, whether you've got kids in school or not, your taxes now are paying for sex education in some schools all the way down to the fourth grade. Any idea what kind of sex education they're getting? If you say no, shame on you. If you don't know what's going on in these schools, whether you've got kids in them or not, they're your schools, baby. You're paying for them, like it or not. And the dark cloud is overcoming these systems. Now, I know there's some righteous, if you're a teacher or a principal, thank God there's some righteous people in everywhere. The courts, the government, the school. We know God has soldiers of the cross inserted into those places. How long do you think that such a just and righteous God as ours can permit a nation to continue to make rules and laws against his rules and laws and still stop decay, deterioration, and judgment to fall upon this land? Let's take religion out for a minute. What kind of human beings kill almost 60 million babies right inside of their own women? Just take Christianity out of it. What kind of people do this? Now, this God who's the life giver, do you think that the Lord wants to promote and bless the American way when we've now legalized? We're close to 60 million babies, folks. As gross as it sounds, just before lunch, if you stack those fetuses in here from a little to 60 million would be quite a pile of people that we legally passed a law. So it's legal because the judge said so. So it's legal. Well, take the law away. Take Christianity out of this. The big question exists, doesn't it, Pastor Stephen? What kind of human beings do this? What is their thinking? 10 times the Holocaust? Yeah. You're the only answer we got. That's why your pastor, I don't know what the right term is. That's why he's kicking you in the bottom, motivating you. You know, pulling on you, get you to prayer, get your kids in the youth group, get them in the children's program, get your babies in the nursery. You get yourself in here, get to prayer, get to start worshiping. Where's your tithe? Where's your offering? You know, where are you serving? Where's your Bible? Day after week after month after year, a good shepherd is saying, if you don't do something, the draft of this darkness, they'll change your mind, darling. You'll get sucked right in. You look so sad. Aren't you the people of the light?
Yes.
It is sad, isn't it? But that's where we come in. This isn't, you got to understand. Don't come here and have church. This isn't about having church. Pastor Stephen's goal, it isn't to pull off a Sunday morning service and say, hey, we pulled it off again. It was so good. No, that's not the goal here. The goal is to make you a soldier of the cross that no matter where you go, you can bind evil, cast out demons, get people born again, and not duck and flinch because they find out you're blood washed and you're one of those Christians and you speak in tongues. Man, I'm not lowering my head for any pagan. In fact, I'm going to bring them up where I'm at. How about you? Give the Lord a hand clap for it. Come on. Praise God. Amen. Say, I'm of the glory cloud.
Yes, you are. And now you turn your back on that dark cloud. Now, this is a little deal of, you know, you can't mess around with this. Because it'll suck you right in it. You can't have a little darkness and think you can get away with it in 2015 and 60. This is intensifying. And this, I wish I have this article somewhere because I saved it, but it was a few years back. Kenneth Copeland, God spoke through my friend Kenneth, and he prophesied. And there was a warning in it for the body of Christ. Maybe some of you will remember this. And he said, in this warning, he said, the darkness will intensify. It will become so, you know, evil that it won't be like yesteryear, where you could go out like Samson and dabble a little bit in Delilah and shake it off and still have your power and come running back in. In this prophetic utterance, God told us that the darkness will be so strong, if you even just flirt with it, you'll never have the ability to return back to the glory, because it'll have such a grip on you. Now, you and I know that the brightness, the light, the glory of God overcomes the darkness. Unless you're playing with it, Judas. That's different. So this is the day to listen to your pastor more than you've ever listened before. To get to every single church service you possibly can. Amen. And to get in prayer. And I'm not trying to put fear in you. I feel a little fear in some of you. But that's not our goal, is to put fear in you. Now, if I slap you on the face and it's a wake-up call, so be it. Stop your snoring and do something. Amen. So we'll give them a minute. Now listen. They'll work on that. You don't have to. So you relax a minute and just listen a minute. I'm done preaching. I feel like my duty was to come and exhort you. And I'm back? And to exhort you on what I did. To remind you that how evil it really is out there. And to pay attention. And to understand that just a little darkness can suck you in now and get you bound. It's not like even 5 years ago. It's certainly not like 10 years ago. It's way far worse than even 20 years ago. That's how fast this is escalating. You got to be really smart now, or we're going to lose you. And when we lose you, it won't just be out of this church. It'll be back to the world. And then I don't know. We can't guarantee you what might happen to you. But that glory cloud is what you run to. You get in prayer. You get in the house of God. You draw upon God. You get your babies in the face of God. And you get submitted to the elders of God. And you get that Bible open and you get it in you. You get it in front of you. Praise God. And then you watch. You'll open the door to the glory cloud. God said to me, if you'll run to the glory, you'll be able to risk the entire filth and despair that's in that gross darkness that's coming upon the earth. And they're both happening at the same time. Because it's not like a rainy day and a sunny day where you can only have one or the other. This is happening to people. So upon the earth, even in this flock, upon the earth in the same city and in this same place, the glory of God could just be consuming some of you because you're giving yourself to it. And others of you might be drifting slowly into darkness until it grabs you. And then we're going to lose you to darkness. And I don't know if we can get you back. It doesn't seem like we're doing real good at getting backsliders home and getting them to repent. It's like once they're bound, they're bound. It's almost like they get mad at God or they blame the church. You got to guard yourself and run to the glory. Say it. I'm going to guard myself and run to the glory. If you do that, you'll eliminate this fear. I don't think you're going to eliminate this uncertainty type feeling, because it's broadcasted. Well, you live in a very uncertain time. You'd almost have to fake it not to realize times are tough and different and evil right now. You see what I'm saying? But the fear you can eliminate, because the closer you get with God and the more you know you're not living in darkness, the more confidence rises in you. And then you become one of those conquerors and soldiers that's going to reach a lot of other people. Say amen. Amen. Say a good amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for you. Thank God for this church. Now, I have one more assignment. Something that the intercessors picked up that God spoke to me about this morning to lead you in to an offering. Now, I got to explain this. It just take me a minute, but I need to explain so you understand spiritually what we're talking about. I don't hardly ever do this. I do it once in a great while. Now, and I know you announced that you're going to take a love offering for me, and I hate to mess with the compass, but I know you'd want me to obey God. What you saw in the Spirit about increase, I didn't know that. You didn't say that to me before I got in the pulpit. I heard you say it up here, but not you and me. But on the way over, the Lord said, when you're done exhorting this morning and warning them, because my duty as a prophet of God is to blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in the holy mountain. That's you. So I feel like though, I wasn't assigned to preach verse after verse after verse, I feel like I've obeyed my God, and I brought to you the exhortation and the warning to both resist the darkness and how dangerous it is, and the exhortation to run into the glory. But now I have this final assignment from God, and it's to activate your faith. Say activate.
Activate.
It's to activate your faith. It is to bring you to that level of increase. Because I really see it in here. Increase. Spiritually. Being promoted. More health than health issues in this church. Amen. But I also see the finances. How is God going to climax the ages if He doesn't make you more prosperous than what you are? All right, you belong to this army. You may be visiting, but we're adopting you for a minute. You belong to this army. The captain of the host gets up and says, we got to, whatever, print this book, go on this TV station, finish this building. It doesn't matter what he says. Go to the mission field, feed the poor, whatever the assignment is. How are we going to do that if you don't have the money? Now, I discern in this house that most of you here are not stingy. There are some churches really stingy. They got a lot of money. The preacher don't see much of it. But I don't discern that in this house. I think overall, I discern. Now, I don't know your paperwork. Pastor doesn't talk business with me. But I discern, just by being with you, that you are tithers, most of you. Some of you are still God thieves, but you'll get that right. Most of you are tithers. Most of you are generous, you're givers, and you've sacrificed before to preach this gospel or for the sake of your church. Now, I don't go here every Sunday. I don't see any paperwork, and I still believe that. I picked that up by the Holy Ghost. God knows you, and the Lord tells me that you're good at that. However, it's still not enough for you to do what you got to do, and it's not enough for Him to do what He's got to do. And banging you on the head to get more when you only got so much, we're going to put a demand on you, because the man of God has more right to your money than the corner store or any other store or anybody else for that matter. So we're going to receive offerings forever. That's not the point. The point is you got to get to the next level. And on the way over here, the Lord said this to me. And every time that I've only done this maybe 12 times in 40 years or something like that. I want to talk to you just a minute about the Shunammite woman. Do you know her story? The Shunammite woman, she's one of my heroes in the faith. Do you have people you want to go shake their hand when you get to heaven? Do you even think about heaven? I dream about heaven. There's people up there that I want to meet. This woman's one of them. The Bible, there's several great hero women in this Bible. This woman from Shunem changed my life forever. And one day, I'm going to find her in heaven. Now, it might take me a while. You know, you go to the threshing floor first, and all the chaff is blown away, and who knows what else before you get to run around heaven. You know, there's a judgment day, the book of Corinthians says, even for Christians. But once they release me, I'm going to go hunt down some people. This woman's one of them. And this woman lived in Shunem. It sounds like Batman or something. She lived in Shunem. Therefore, she's called the Shunammite. But she goes to her husband and she says, We gotta add on to our house. What? I perceive, she said, that this prophet that keeps coming through our region is a holy man of God. She perceived that. Now, she wasn't born again. She wasn't water baptized and she wasn't spirit filled. Huh. But she perceived that he was a holy man. I wish people would just do that with you. Now, a lot of this army looks at you two and say, yeah, he's a holy man, holy woman. But wouldn't it be great if that spread further? Now, here's a woman, there's no church. She's not a church member. She's not even born again. But she knows that man is a holy man and walks with God. So like any good wife who really goes to work at it, can talk her husband into just about anything. If that's not true, you girls aren't as good as my Vicky. Because, I mean, I can say no 200 times, and Vicky's got 201st presentation. Hallelujah. And finally, she breaks me. Yeah, all right, okay, praise the Lord. That's why you women got to stay holy. Because you have, you know, this is a side note, but influence is more powerful than authority. If you women try to be authoritative, you're losing your place in life and you'll lose your power. It was not meant for you to be authoritative against Satan and sin. But if you see, if you men get squirrely, squeamish, sissified, cowardly, and you hunker down, you don't lead your home, you don't use your authority, you'd rather be influential and persuasive. You're being female, but you're not. Your plumbing proves different. God gave man authority and dominion. He gave woman influence. And listen to me, you can study it in every arena of life. Wherever authority fails, influence wins. Take that home with you. Think about it. It's powerful. Now this woman from Shunem, she goes to her husband and says, this is a man of God we're dealing with. It's not just a sojourner. We got to build an apartment on our house. And we're going to do it right, she said. And they did. And he's on foot. He only goes through there ever so often, not every week. But this woman and her husband added on this apartment. And she said, we're going to do it right. Put a bed in it. You know, put a table on it, a lampstand, you know, a chair. We're going to do this right for the man of God. Now, this is nice hotels and all that, Jeff. And we're going to do it. And they did it. Now, isn't it amazing that in God's book, it doesn't say a word about the Shunammite husband? There's no story about the Shunammite man. That's what tells me it was this woman who perceived he was a man of God. It was this woman who used her influence to get her man to release this money to take care of the prophet of God. And they did. And whenever he came by there, the Bible says that he went in there. Still listening to me? And then, before you know it, the prophet says, hey, what can I do for you? You've always taken care of me and honored. What can I do for you? She says, oh, nothing. Well, do you want me to talk to the king or something on your behalf? Or you want me to? No, nothing, none. So the prophet of God, finally, God speaks to him and he says, I'll tell you what's going to happen because you took care of me. You're going to have a baby. And according to the time of life, that means you can't get pregnant through prophecy. You know that. So you're going to get pregnant. Then you're going to carry it the 9 months. And you're going to bring forth a child. Now, I want to show you how lack of faith this woman had. This woman said, do not mess with me. One version says, don't tease me. Another version says, you know, and you could see this woman had no faith for this baby. She had given up faith towards God. It sounds like she'd get all given up about having babies. And she had no faith. But you know what she had faith for? An offering. The apartment. She had full faith to do that. She had lost all faith in the miracle that she needed. All she had faith to do, all she could activate, was let's build that apartment and take care of that prophet of God. But when it come to the baby, even the she knows her womb is barren. And when it come to the prophet, she said, don't lie to me. One version literally said, don't lie to me, man of God. Don't mess with me. My womb is barren and I can't have children. Now I may see no faith. Say no faith. But what happened was she had a baby. Just like the prophet said. And when I read that story, Pastor Stephen, it changed my life forever. That's why I want to meet her. And when you stood up today under God's anointing and said the intercessors, and when you were praying, picked up this increase thing, and then you said a really powerful mouthful. You said, I'm paraphrasing. You said, this isn't just money. It includes the money. But a lot of us need some miracles and some blessings of God outside of the pocketbook. Now, maybe money is your trauma. I'm sorry to, in a way, to take so long, because I know we got to go to lunch. But I want to do this right so it'll bless you the most. Okay. So, she has a baby. Now, don't you know you can't buy a baby from God? Don't you know that no matter what you give God, there's no babies for sale in heaven? You certainly know in this church you can't bribe God no matter what you gave him today. No. Well, then what happened here? How can a woman sew a table and a lampstand and in the process have her womb open and end up having a baby that she already gave up on even trying? Unless you can go to the next level of increase in whatever you're believing for by breaking the barrier by giving to the prophet of God. Because this is the case. And there's more than this one story. Still listening? Now, the Bible says in the earth, as long as the earth remains, there is seed time and harvest. It's a law. No, man doesn't have the power to reverse that. There's another law that God put in the earth. A seed must bring forth the produce or the fruit after its own kind. You plant corn, you don't get beans. Right? The ground can't say no. And once you plant the corn, it can't say, I've always wanted to be a green bean. And now that I'm in dark under the ground, I'm not coming up a corn. No, the fallen nature to rebel against God's laws only among humans because of Adam. That's why there's no gay horses. Listen to me. That's why animals, you know, don't communicate and lie. That's why you've been given a voice and they haven't. Because the fallen nature is in humans, not so much the rest of creation. But when I read this story that day, I called Vicky over. I said, Vicky, my bride, I said, Vicky, this woman, think about this. This woman didn't plant beans and get beans. This is different. This is majorly different. She did something in the natural, but she reaped a miracle that if she had been the richest woman on the planet, she could not have bought this womb to open. She gave up on that. I said, look at this, Vicky. So I learned in the realm of the spirit, which is what we're about to do, in the realm of the spirit, you're not subject to the law of the earth, the dirt. So you can sow and not reap the exact same thing that you sowed, because you're not sowing in the dirt. You can sow a table and a lampstand and an apartment and reap an open womb and a baby. Say, you don't, that woman There's no story about a caravan that came, Pastor Stephen. And they said, what on earth is that? Well, it's camels and donkeys loaded with lampstands and tables because you reap what you sow. No, she broke that law. Or that law didn't apply to her because she wasn't sowing in the dirt. When you sow in any offering, not just this one, you got to think about this. Today, if you're going to sow something in the offering, which I'll lead you into honestly in just a minute. If you're going to sow into that, then you sow supernaturally and you attach something to it. There's three ways to release money in this kingdom. Tithing, giving, where you just give Jesus Christ and His work something. We're expecting nothing in return. It's a gift. And then you sow so that you may reap. Give me one word. If I sow sparingly, one word. If I sow sparingly, I shall reap. And if I sow bountifully, I shall reap. You're going to reap either way. You can't outgive God. The problem is that sparingly sowing, you can't live on sparingly, especially you Americans. We got to live on bountiful. That's the way our society is set up. Still listening? Yes. Now, I understand that Pastor Stephen was going to receive an offering for me, or our ministry, I should say. It'll be up to him, and I want you to give him that liberty that whatever money comes in this offering right now, he will determine how much of that should be part of my love offering and how much of it should not. I want you to be free about that in your mind. This is not me with any gimmick or any manipulation trying to get any money or any more money out of you whatsoever. Are you listening to me? This offering really is for you. Because when Jeannie was talking, God said, I want you to do I want you to bring them into a Shunammite offering where they sow a seed today. Most of you are probably giving the offering anyways, because that's kind of what most Christians do, and the pastor gives up and says, we're going to receive an offering. But today, we're going to sow a Shunammite offering. What's that mean? You're going to sow a seed. And I want you to get your mind off from, well, let's give Brother Barclay a love offering. Well, you got to get your mind. Now, it's okay to do that, but right now we're not doing that. We already declared what he'll do with the money. I want you to get your mind right now on the miracle you need. Now, I cannot stand up here and tell you that if you give something really supernatural in this offering, that you're going to get your miracle by tomorrow night. I can't do that, honestly. I know some preachers do that. I cannot. Number one, I don't believe that. But I can say this. Some of you are about to break the back of the opposition by giving this kind of offering. Just like that woman with a closed womb did something in the natural and opened that womb. Some of you need a miracle. Maybe it is money. Maybe it's business. Maybe it's marriage. Maybe it's family. But you don't get to reap what you want. There's no reap what you want verse. You reap what you sow, which means what you sow into and what you sow for. Not just beans to corn, because you're not, this isn't a garden. I'm not a farmer. We're sowing today supernaturally. Now close your eyes with me. We've got to go to lunch here. Close your eyes with me. And I want you to think about, thank you for liberty, Pastor. I know this is not part of the plan, and I just appreciate you letting me do this. And I know you don't know about it, but it'll be all right. Close your eyes and think about what miracle. You won't have to think long. What miracle do you need? You can't bribe God. You can't buy it from God. He's too smart. But you could sow. You could sow on a Shunammite level and stretch yourself and get it to the altars and say, God, this is what I'm sowing for. I desperately need this miracle. If the woman from Shunem did it, then why can't I do it? If the woman from Shunem, not even being born again, can sacrifice and get an offering, then Lord, I'm going to do it today. I'm going to give it an offering today. I'm going to do it. And when you do it, I'm going to plant it, Lord, into this great kingdom. Really, I'm giving it to you, Jesus. And I thank you for that. I'm giving it to you. And I'm going to give it and assign a miracle to it and ask you to honor me like you honored the woman from Shunem and give me that offering. Now, Lord, I take a minute before they even get an envelope, and I pray over them right now. This is going to be a serious offering. They need, and they just really, I advise them, Lord, I pray you touch their heart. This is not a time to tip God or, throw in $2. Unless $2 is all you got, then that's a high percentage. This is a serious offering. We're attaching the most serious thing in our life to it, the thing we need the most. So when we plant the money, it's like the Shunammite woman building that apartment. We're just planting the money in the kingdom. But we're going to believe you that while we're here with Pastor and the prophet of God, that the just like she had a womb open, our miracle is going to be initiated. And just like God showed Gene in the spirit, we're going to the next level of increase in our bodies, in our minds, in our families, with our kids, in our marriages, in our flesh, with our money, with our ministries, with our businesses, on our jobs. It's time for increase in every area of life, even spiritually. In the name of Jesus. Usher, stand if you will. And wave at an usher if you're going to give in this offering. Now forget that it's a love offering. Again, pastor will decide what to do with this money. You sow on behalf of your miracle. You sow the Shunammite offering right now. You say, Lord, I'm really stretching here to do this, but my miracle is at that level. You may have already given up on your miracle. Remember, the woman from Shunem had no faith to be pregnant. She only had faith to talk her husband into building that apartment. It was the prophet who had faith for her baby. She had already given that up. I hope you understand our spirit on this and you don't get confused. We're not suggesting that you can buy anything from God. There's no manipulation. There's no gimmick in this. This really did happen in the Bible. And the few times I've done this in my lifetime, I just did it a few nights ago at a conference, but I don't do it all the time. I don't think it would work all the time. I think it might work for you all the time, but I don't think a preacher can stand up and just overwork something for the sake of an offering. It isn't the money we're looking for. It's your miracle we're looking for. And if this is the thing that Gene and the intercessor saw in the spirit, then let's use this offering to break that door open, praise God, and activate our faith on this and get our miracle on its way. I fully expect, I'm very convinced on this, I fully expect you're going to get a boatload of testimonies of how they sowed in this Shunammite offering. And then miracles happen in this area of their life and that area of their life. I really believe it's going to happen. I've already seen it before. Just supernatural healings and deliverances. I've had people sow in the Shunammite offering for their lost loved ones. One of my favorite stories. I see you're writing, but we got to go, but hurry up. One of my favorite stories is a pastor and his wife had a daughter that grew up and went out in the world, and she was selling her body for drugs. Imagine that, a church kid, a PK, preacher's kid. And they tried everything to rescue her, and she'd have nothing to do with it. They sowed in a Shunammite offering. And I want you to take your envelope, and I want you to write what miracle you're believing for. Okay? You don't have to write all the details, but healing, deliverance, my baby, my marriage, money, if that's your miracle. Just write one word or two back here. That way, pastor can get his hands on these, and I'll agree with him too and you. But we want to get our hands on these. We'll carry these with us for a while, you know, or at least photograph them so that we know. We want to get our faith that this thing comes to pass for you. So don't just put the dollar amount like an offering. Put in there what you're believing for. Now I want to put your heart at ease. If you're suspicious about this offering, then don't give in it. Just be sweet. Keep your money. It's going to be okay. I'm not broke. Pastor's not broke. The church isn't broke. You could stay broke doing it, but that's your business. Depends on what you're sowing for. But I always know, because of the times we live in, and there are preachers that have a lot of little schemes and connivory things, honest to God, we're not one of them. And that's why if you're insecure about this, then forget it. You know, just be sweet about it. And I just want to say that. I would recommend that every human being in this building, you get down as deep as you can with your money and you be in business with God. And you say, Lord, I need a miracle. I know I can't buy one, but I can at least exercise the Shunammite rule and activate my faith with this severe offering, because I need a severe intervention of God. And I may not have faith left much more for my miracle. It sounds like the preachers do, but I have faith for this offering. Do you understand the difference? Then when you come up in a minute and we sow this, I know it's late. You don't have to be in a hurry, though. You come up to the container and you on your way up and you deposit this and you say, Lord, I need this miracle. I am sowing on purpose. Exercising the Shunammite rule. Say it. The Shunammite rule. Say it. The Shunammite. You can't pronounce it up here if you can't say it. The Shunammite rule. Now please, Lord, use my seed and open, you know, that womb, that door, that healing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, come stand with me, will you? Thank you for being patient with me today, folks. We want Pastor to stand. We want to get some authority on this. Ushers, put the containers right here on both sides of us, please. Amen. Praise God. You got such a great church. A great pastor. Thank God. Great church family. Just think about living in such dark days and how beautiful you got it here. It's pretty cool. Amen. And I like the fact that he's not a womanizer. Thank you. Amen. God, we got one amen out of that. Praise God. I thank God he's not a drinker. He doesn't take drugs. He's not a liar. He doesn't cheat you. Isn't that great? Amen. Praise God. Yeah. It's funny to say, isn't it? But you and I know a lot of preachers that are just hirelings. They probably give a lot of money to those preachers too, I would think. But yeah, I respect you for your cleanliness and your holiness and your walk with God. Now, as you come forward, we're going to ask you to not dismiss yourself, okay? It won't be long. And so you come forward. Stand with me right now, please. Make sure you write the miracle you're believing for. Now, if it's too private, just write too private. We're not trying to pry. We just know that throwing money in this bucket is not going to get you your miracle. Putting your offering in here and declaring the Shunammite rule and calling upon God and then getting us to stand with you on that thing you're believing for, the combination of all that is what opens the womb or the door or brings the healing. Are you ready? Oh, did I finish my story about the pastor's daughter? Or are you napping during that? The pastor that sowed in the Shunammite for his daughter that was outselling her body for sex. And he sowed in that, the two of them, and let me know about it. And they said, we come to the altar and said, Lord, we've exhausted everything. We've gone to her, her friends, her family, her siblings, the preachers, famous preachers. She denies all of us. So I am putting in my Shunammite offering on behalf that my daughter will come home. I'm not exaggerating. My daughter will come home 3 days. At the time, they could not even find their daughter. She totally ran and was in hiding. 3 days, ladies and gentlemen. The daughter calls home and says, Daddy, I don't know what happened to me. I'm dirty. I'm wrong. I'm selling my body, sex for drugs. This isn't me. I'm scared. Can I come home? Can you get me delivered? Can you cast this out of me? 3 days from a Shunammite offer. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Now, come on forward now if you're sowing. Sow your seed. Go back to your seat for a minute. Come on, do it. Take your time. Sow your seed. Declare what you're believing for. And Pastor and I are agreeing with you right now in Jesus' name. In fact, you stand here and touch their offering. Come back here a minute. And let me just agree with you. I'm not going to pray for every one of you, but I'm putting myself in agreement. Lord, you know what they're believing for. Pastor will do that side. Lord, you know what they're agreeing for. Let me touch your offering. This is not a gimmick. It's what we feel led to do in the Spirit. Let this church break out in the increase that we see and feel is supposed to happen to us. Let this offering be received by God as such a supernatural event that it manifests on us. That this miracle comes to pass in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We believe in miracles. And Lord, we believe you're the God of miracles. We agree with that. Let me put my hand on that. It's just a touch, you know, a point of contact to agree with you for the miracle that you're looking for. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I don't think these things are too good to be true. I think they are true. Probably more than think, but in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Heal him, Lord. What a faithful man. Loves God. Let this come to pass. Let this miracle come to pass. Whatever they're talking to you, Jesus, not Brother Barclay, not Brother Fraser. They're talking to you. May this come to pass. May this seed be honored by the Most High God. In the name of Jesus. 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 Amen. You can sow it or just take your time. Do what you want to do. It's your miracle we're believing for. It's your miracle we're believing for. You're smart, young man. Let me hold that once. Right here. Let me hold it. In the name of Jesus. All right. Sow that. Jesus' name. Bless you. I agree with you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Miracles are going to happen. Amen. Some of you can come this way if you want to. If you'd rather have your pastor do it, then that's okay too. But I'll agree with you in the name of Jesus. Now you're sowing this between you and God. Shunem. Shunemite. Shunemite. Yes, ma'am. And we're exercising the Shunemite rule. That's what you say to God. Or you could say the woman from Shunem. Amen. Father, I thank you for this miracle. We so need it. Don't we? We need a miracle. Yes, we do. We need a miracle. We need a miracle, don't we? Yeah. Jesus is the miracle worker. Amen. A miracle. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. A miracle. A miracle. A miracle. In the name of Jesus, bring us this miracle. Yes, we're going to testify. And we're going to boast in the Lord our God. A miracle. In Jesus' name. A miracle. A divine miracle. Put these together, Pastor, on top of each other. Now, Lord, this is a very sacred thing. We do not take it lightly. I know there's some people, they were just kind of testing the offering. But others sowed real sincerely. Without you, Jesus, Pastor Stephen and I, we have no way to bring these miracles to pass. We only have a way to receive the offering. But we stand together at this holy altar. This is a clean temple. And we stand together and say, Jesus, our Lord, and the Lord of this church, what's written in here, may it come to pass. And when it does, for those that do get their miracle, may they boast in the Lord their God and testify and testify and testify about what a great miracle God has done in their life. May, Lord, it would be our desire that every single miracle written on every single envelope came to pass in this dynamic biblical Shunammite offering in the name of Jesus. Amen. And amen. Amen. Praise God. Stay right here. Go back and hit our, wherever it is, our product table. There's some really things there to help you, and I want you to go get it and buy something for somebody else and bless them. Amen. I sure love your pastor, don't you? He's a good guy. Give him a good hand clap. I love you.
That concludes this message. For more information about this ministry, contact us at Life of Faith Bible Church, 14200 Spiegel Lane, Louisville, Kentucky, 40299, or call 502-240-0016. You can also visit us online at lofbc.org.